How do I find the will of God? Does every decision have to be a spiritual one? How do I know if the Spirit is leading me or if it's just my desires? How can I have confidence in the decisions I make with my life? Well, welcome back to the Cloverdale Baptist Podcast. Here we want to have conversations to help the church engage better with God, His Word, and the culture around us. Once again today, I have with me Pastor Rob Goddard, the second best golfer in the office.
I don't know if I would claim that. Yeah.
Top five then.
Top five. From California.
Yes, from California.
For those of you who are going to chase a podcast on this, I lived there for about a month and a half, 2 months when I was a little baby.
I guess we're going to bring that up every podcast
now.
No,
only the two.
Why is finding the will of God such a difficult thing for people, or to know, okay, is this the right decision? Is this the wrong decision? Why is that happening so much with Christians?
Brad, I think this is one of the great important topics to discuss because we want to live relationally. When we live relationally in surrender to the Lordship of Jesus, the most important question we can ask is, what does Jesus want me to do? So I think it's an essential question for every Christian to ask all of the time. How we answer it matters because mm-hmm. it can be either toxic to our faith and our lives, or it can be this great rest and passionate pursuit. So I think it's an important topic because we want to live relationally with God. We want to be those who know what He desires, and we want to surrender to it. Yeah. So the question is phenomenal. Sometimes how we answer the question, not so much.
Yes. So what are the things the Bible is most clear on about what God's will is for our lives?
Well, let me first say that I love how you asked that question. My favorite book on the will of God is one Bruce Waltke wrote, one of my old profs, and it's Finding the Will of God, a Pagan Notion. And you go, what? Yeah. Finding the Will of God, a Pagan Notion. Well, his idea behind that is in the Old Testament, there were all sorts of pagan nations, and they found the will of God by basically rolling the dice. They'd mm-hmm. take guesses. They'd read their circumstances. They'd read the tea leaves, whatever. Yeah. And that is not how we as God's people find the will of God. So I want to affirm how you asked that question, but even emphasize it. We find the will of God by reading the Word of God. And then I put an exclamation mark and a period. And you're going to say, well, there's got to be more than that. But I would say very carefully, we have to say that's where we start and that's where we finish. That mm-hmm. evaluates it. It initiates and evaluates everything that we decide.
Right.
And actually will lead to peace. So let me just give you some scriptures. It's really easy. When the Bible talks about God's will, almost always it's His moral will that mm-hmm. is being talked about. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God. Your holiness, your sanctification is what it says. But you're becoming like Jesus.
Yeah.
Or 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So if somebody comes to you and says, I just don't know what God's will is for my life, God's will is you become holy. God's will is you rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, those things are pretty hard, Brad. So we prefer, I want to know if I should go left or right.
Yeah.
That is important. Going left or right is important, but way secondary. So God's will, and I just want to state this as clearly as I can. I get this from Bruce Waltke, but it's in the Bible. God's will is much less about where you live or what job you take, and much more about how you live wherever you are, relationship with Jesus, a relationship with Him that drives and defines you, and obedience to His word. So what we're talking about here is when we want to find the will of God, we want to find it in the Word of God. And any situation that isn't defined by the Word of God, we want to have a character and an overall understanding of the Word of God that leads us to make decisions in wisdom. So probably the most important passage in the whole Bible on the will of God in those areas is Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, in view of God's mercy. So in other words, because of the gospel, the greatness of the gospel, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, full surrender to God. This is your spiritual act of worship or your logical act of worship. This is what you should do, or service. The word worship could be translated service. Mm-hmm. This is how you should live all of your life. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's, we're back to the word of God.
Yeah.
Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How do we know the will of God? It's in His word. When it's not in His word, we've so saturated our minds with His word that we're not thinking with the flesh. We're not narcissistic, self-centered. We're not thinking like the culture around us wants us to think. We're not demonically dissuaded.
Yeah.
We're not leaving it to chance. We are so saturated with the word of God that we know what His will is mm-hmm. and we choose to do it.
Hmm. Isn't a part of God's word, though, casting lots? Like we see the disciples, they cast lots to see, okay, who's the replacement going to be? In Judges, we see we're going to put a fleece out. Is it wet? What's the grass like? Those kind of things. Like that's in the Bible. So is that not how we determine God's will?
So let me first say that after you've searched the word of God, circumstances matter. Mm-hmm. magic doesn't. So if you took me to two places, I want to say that one actually is one that God gave the priests, and even one we find used to find an apostle in the New Testament, right, the casting of lots. I think they made a mistake in the New Testament. Lots of debate on that. It's a historical narrative. I think they made a mistake. I think they should have done it differently, and I think Paul is the 12th apostle. Again, lots of debate on that. Not worth entering in. I don't think they did it right. In the Old Testament, they actually did it in a way that allowed God to intimately be involved in every one of their details. Let me say that I don't think we should do those things now. Oh, the Judges one. I should go there as well. I think that he actually was testing God, and I think he was sinning and doing it. Gideon's a lousy example of I know a lot of people really like Gideon. Take a look at his life. The guy is he builds an altar to false gods. He does it again at the end of his life. He's just not a great guy. Does great things. He's just not a great guy. And I think his way of testing there, not what we should do. He's not the model of what we should do. However, Brad, I would want to say that God is relational. So if you are filling your mind with God's word, if you are truly seeking God with all your might, if you are doing the Romans 12, 1 and 2, or taking captive every thought, the 1 Corinthians 10, the spiritual battle passage, if you're doing those things, yes, be very aware of the circumstances around. Don't roll the dice, but be very aware of the circumstances around you. So if you're looking for a career choice and all of a sudden you fill out a career pathway plan and you're praying like crazy and you really like police work, and it shows up that there should be a police. Can God use that to guide you? Of course he can. So I'm not, although it's very secondary, right? Because we talked about what is his will. His will clearly revealed in the word. But on those things, absolutely be aware of the circumstances. But I would want to say, ultimately, God's will is not something you find, it's something you do. Ultimately, God's will is, that's a Bruce Waltke quote, but ultimately, God's word reveals God's will. And so we choose to obey it. And when it comes to the secondary things, which often we make primary, I think go ahead if you want and look at the, in fact, I think you should look at circumstances. We'll walk through what I think you should do if you want to find God's will. And I'll include in there some of those things, but please don't use magic potions that manipulate God. Please submit to his spirit. Be aware of your circumstances. He does sovereignly orchestrate those, but ultimately be word saturated.
So you're saying in those examples specifically, it's telling us about what has happened. It's not saying they did this, we should also do it.
100%. And in fact, you're going to find none of that in the New Testament in didactic, in the teaching that should, it's called didactic teaching, the teaching that is describing to us how we should live, not describing to us what happened, descriptive versus prescriptive, if you want to use the language sometimes in hermeneutics that we use. But yeah, you're not going to find any of that there.
Right.
And God is pretty smart. And God has shown us exactly what we need, and God has revealed to us how we could know his will, and there's no magic, mystical stuff in the prescriptive.
So every day we make so many decisions, countless decisions. Does everyone have to be a spiritual decision? So this morning, the cereal I chose to eat, was that something I should have prayed over to make sure I chose the right cereal or put on the right clothes this morning? Is there a line for what decisions need to be spiritual and prayed over, or how should we live in that way?
Yeah, I think this is a great question. Brad, that was well thought through. let me say, first of all, that every part of life is spiritual. Whatever you do, whether you eat cereal or drink orange juice, do it all for the glory of God. So everything you do is spiritual. So when you ask the question, should it be a spiritual part of your life? My answer is absolutely. However, should you be concerned off the charts of every decision you make? My answer is no, it should be an overflow of wisdom. Right. The Lord, Proverbs 2 verse 6, the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. You pattern your life and live your life in such a way that the alignment with him is directed by him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not, this is Proverbs 3, 5, 6, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. So there's a confidence in the leading of the Holy Spirit, not a panic that I might eat the wrong cereal this morning.
Right.
So every decision is spiritual because we want to be driven and defined by our relationship with Jesus. So what you eat in the morning matters. However, it is so small in comparison to the overall word saturation of your life. So I would like you to live relationally with God as you're having breakfast, for sure. I would not want you to be panicked with every decision you make. I would want you to be guided by the Spirit, by the wisdom you have, by being word saturated, and by the life you live, in the habits you make, in this pattern, then panic over every decision.
Right. There's not this, there's one specific cereal that God needs me to have this morning, and so I need to make sure it's the right one. It's trusting that I'm going to walk in wisdom in that.
And listen, if you want to be mystical, what this is a joke now, just to make sure everybody understands as I tell it, don't eat Cheerios, eat alphabets, because it's easier to find words in alphabets than it is in Cheerios.
There, that's very true. Hey, that, you're going to have
wisdom
everyone.
From Rob Goddard. No, I think, Brad, listen, I think when you start looking for signs, you're going to see them in all sorts of different ways, and you're going to see the signs that your flesh wants to see.
Yeah.
And that is not being led by God or the Spirit. I'm not saying there's not signs. You're going to see that when I talk about patterns we need to follow. But please hear me say, it's much more important that you are in the Word and in prayer as you enter into your breakfast eating than it is that you make the right choice in the right sign, mystical sign on the right cereal. So think of it relationally, not magic. Think we're not trying to manipulate God. He's trying to direct us. And those decisions, although they matter and they build, are decisions you make because you have wisdom, not decisions you make because you see a sign in the sky.
Yeah.
Or in the alphabet.
Yeah. How can I know if a feeling that I have is from the Holy Spirit, if it's the Holy Spirit leading me or prompting me to do something, or if it's just my own desires? If it's, I have a strong desire, let's say the job you said, let's say it's police work. I have a strong desire to go into that, but you're wondering, oh, is that the Holy Spirit pushing me towards that, or is that my just want for that to be my life?
I think it's a really important question. And I think we go back to the text of Scripture that says that we're not to trust our hearts. Hmm. We're not to trust our feelings. So I would say that anytime you have a feeling, and you got to be careful with this, because I believe I'm called to ministry.
Yeah.
And I have an internal and external call. That is a feeling for sure. It's a conviction for sure. But I would say that we cannot trust our own feelings ever because we're battling in the flesh. You say, how do I know if it's the Holy Spirit or it's my own flesh? And I would say, you always test every spirit, every feeling, everything with the Word of God. And if it's authoritative, it has to be found in the Word of God.
Right.
So I would say, and again, some of you aren't going to like this as you listen to this, but I would say you never trust your feelings. Mm. Your feelings betray you.
Right.
And I would say even strong convictions that aren't based in the Word of God, I'm not saying you don't follow them.
Yeah.
Like if it's a conviction, I have a conviction not to drink as an example. It's not a biblical conviction.
Yeah.
I can follow that conviction, but I should not teach that as the will of God for others.
Yeah.
So we have to be very careful when it comes to being confident in our own feelings and our own flesh.
Right.
Now, the closer we are to God, the more we feel in alignment with Him, the more we can trust our feelings. But I doubt very much that any of us are where we need to be, where we could, let me say it even stronger. None of us are to the place where we can trust our feelings. I had a good friend in Bible college, actually was a roommate with my brother-in-law, and he had a beautiful wife and they had a child. Amazing guy. He was an intern for one of the big youth programs, but godly guy. I thought he was going to be an amazing pastor. And he had a strong feeling that he had married the wrong woman and that he needed to have a different wife. Well, I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that feeling was wrong.
Yeah.
That feeling was demonic, fleshly, worldly.
Yeah.
Because we need to evaluate everything, not just how we feel, how we think, everything with the Spirit's revelation in the Word of God as authoritative. Yeah. So in answer to your question, I'm not saying that how you feel, the callings you feel are invaluable. Mm-hmm. They are valuable.
Yeah.
They're just massively secondary to a number of other things. And the Word of God being primary, the Spirit of God using the Word of God to guide the people of God for the glory of God.
Right. The Word of God is going to be how to tell us to do those things, how to go about our desires, how to analyze our desires. Even David praying, Lord, would you seek my heart and show me if there's any offensive way within me of seeing, okay, God, this is something I want to do. Is this out of my own pride, out of my own desire, or is it from you?
Yes. Yes. And we test ourselves with the power of the Holy Spirit, but ultimately with a Spirit given word.
Yeah. And similarly in a situation where if I came up to you, Rob, and I said, God is telling me to tell you that you are called to go to South Africa next week and preach the gospel. Like God is telling me.
I prefer Hawaii, but keep going.
God is telling me to tell you to say that. I think in a similar way, you would say, well, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's specifically from God. You need to go to him in prayer and
100%. You even see that in the life of Paul, where we had a prophet come and prophesy, and it was a wrong prophecy. Yeah, 100%. I would caution anyone to speak for God unless they're reading the Bible.
Yeah.
And when you preach, you should preach as if you're preaching the very words of God because you're loyal to the Bible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been prophesied over a number of times. I have people tell me a number of different things.
Yeah.
I appreciate the heart of people. I'm not trying to be critical of those people, but I have never trusted any of them.
Right.
Because I trust the word of God.
Right.
And I do believe God uses people to shape. I believe he uses this podcast to help people understand how to follow the will of God.
Yeah.
But everything must be tested with the word of God.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of God is relational, not just through other people, but in your own life. So yeah, I think it's a great point. If you've ever had somebody say to you any words of life or words of death, always evaluate those words with the word of God and make sure that your submission is to the word of God and not to people.
Yeah.
I will get into that when you ask me the steps to make God-honoring decisions. But I think I value other people's input. I don't trust it any more than I trust my own input. Yeah. I evaluate all things with God's word.
Yeah. Some people specifically have just a very difficult time with being indecisive. Decisions can just paralyze people. They need to analyze every possible outcome, every situation. They need to know, what am I supposed to do? Because they might hear this and say, okay, there's nothing about these decisions I'm making that have specific implications from the Bible. And so, how long do I have to take to analyze something? How do I know when to just take a step forward when I don't actually know what I'm supposed to do?
Okay, so I'm going to answer it bigger, but I think it's actually an important question. I would start with how important is a question you're asking. So do I think eating cereal and drinking orange juice is a spiritual thing? I do. I don't think you need to take a lot of time making that decision.
Yeah.
I would say seconds. If you're saying, who should I live with for the rest of my life? Who should I marry? Who's God's partner? I think that should take a lot more time and a lot more prayer and a lot more pursuit. Obviously, with God's word guiding both, but I would say it just depends on the decision.
Yeah.
If you're deciding which car to take in the morning, obviously, you know, I want Lori to have the best car or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying those things don't matter. I'm just saying make it quickly and build a pattern of life. But if you're saying, if I'm coming to a situation where I'm saying, okay, this actually means I really want to know God's will. I don't know what it is. What should I do? I want to walk you through a five-step pattern that I get a lot of it from Bruce Waltke, but but that I use in my own life. The first is just make sure your word's saturated. I know you hear this lots from us, but it is so important. God's moral will is in his word. The most important things, everything we need for life and godliness, everything. Mm-hmm. It's not partial. So listen, if you're not obeying the word of God you already have, you have no right to ask for more light. And none of us, perhaps, are obeying his word correctly. So I would probably want to soften it. That was a quote from one of my favorite guys on the will of God. But I would want to soften a bit and say, listen, the most important thing is you obey his revealed word. That's where you should put most of your time. Mm-hmm. And these other things matter, but not as much.
Yeah.
Again, Romans 12, 102, Psalm 119, 2 Corinthians 10, so many other scriptures that I would go to and just say, listen, here's the deal. You need to be word saturated if you want to know the will of God. And that takes time and pattern and effort.
Yeah.
So I want you to be first and foremost in the word as you're making these decisions, whether it's eating breakfast or who to marry or the job or the education or all of those things. The most important thing in those decisions is word saturation. Mm-hmm. Secondly, and spirit filling in that. Secondly, most I would go to is just pray for wisdom. James 1:5. God gives wisdom generously. It's a promise, not a puzzle. Then you will know his will. Proverbs 3:5-6. Then he will lead you in your path. So prayer, again, is responsive. We've said that in a previous podcast. We can ask God anything we want, including, God, help me to have wisdom where I can make these decisions. God, help me to make the right decisions. God, would you fill me with your spirit? Would you control me so that I make these right decisions? And, and again, prayer is relational and it's key to knowing God's will. So word saturation, prayer for wisdom. Then I think, and you had brought this up earlier, and I kind of said, okay, we're not looking for people to tell us things, but seek wise counsel from other mature believers. So if you are saying to me, Brad, hey, I want to know where God is calling me in 5 years, I think listen to what I have to say. We're pouring into each other's lives. It doesn't mean I command you. It doesn't mean I have authority over God's will in your life, but it means you listen with respect to the people you respect. So Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. I think it's essential that you listen very carefully to people around you. So word saturation, prayer. Counsel for mature believers. And then I would say you want to check your own heart. You want to know what you're feeling. And in this, you want to know your motives. So what is the ultimate motive for every Christian? Should be to the praise of his glorious grace. So when I'm starting to ask questions, so who should I marry? That has to be a part of what comes into play there. What should I have for breakfast? Actually, it has to come in.
Yeah.
Obviously, significantly less important. Where should I go next year? We used to get all sorts of calls from churches to say, hey, would you like to come pastor for us in Bible college? Would you like to come teach? And every time we wanted to say, okay, what is it that would most glorify God? What are my motives? So we joked around. You said, well, go to South Africa. Oh, yeah. I want to go to Hawaii. Yeah. Now we're checking the motives, right?
Yeah.
My motive is, although South Africa is beautiful, so if you're South African, hear me. I know there's lots of great places in South Africa. But the motive should be, where can I most glorify God? Not where am I most comfortable or where's the greatest holiday to go to? So I think, again, what I'm doing is I'm checking my own feelings. I want to feel things. I want the Holy Spirit to guide my feelings.
Yeah.
But I want my motive to be a passion for God's glory. And then lastly, I decide in faith and live for the future. I want to explain this a little bit.
Yeah.
And this is a Rob Goddardism, so it's not, I don't want to blame Bruce Waltke for this, but here's what I want to say. I get a lot of people that live in the past. I'm not sure I made the right decision. I'm not sure I married the right person. I'm not sure. All these questions, they're actually relevant questions in counseling, but are relevant for God's will for you today.
Right.
So let me give you an example. A guy comes to me and says, I think I married the wrong woman. I think there's another woman God has for me. I didn't marry this woman in my dreams. I married this other woman. It was just convenient. I made a mistake. Maybe even she wasn't a Christian. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay. That could all be true, and I want to help you through that so you make good decisions in the future. But God's will for you is shaped today forward, not yesterday backwards. God's will is never that he goes and divorces that woman. God's will that he loves her as Christ loved the church.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you're saying, I want to decide in faith, and I want to live for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not bound constantly evaluating your past decisions. Oh, I should have gone to a different Bible college. Show me.
Yeah.
I went to Briarcrest. I wish I would have gone to Moody for a year. Moody was free back then. It would have been really cool.
Yeah.
I wish I would have gone to Cape and for a year. I think it would have really broadened my horizons and I would have been able to travel. Man, those would have been really good decisions. Ah, maybe I shouldn't even pass. It can cripple you instead of going, thank you, God, for good and bad decisions I've made. And now I want to live in obedience to you in the future. So decide in faith. That's word saturation. That's praying for wisdom. That's seeking counsel of mature believers. That's understanding our own motives for the glory of God and understanding what we feel the Spirit is directing us. And then once we've made those decisions, we're always choosing today forward when we're looking for the will of God. We're not saying yesterday other than to learn how to do it better in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And needing everything that we do in life and where I am right now, anyone listening to this, where you are right now is where God has you to be right now and to obey him in. I think that's one way to know. Right now, are you living in the way God wants you? Does the job you have, is the life you're living, is it one where you're able to honor God well? Is it easier for you to honor God well with the spot you're in? Or maybe you need to change a job because that is just so difficult to do, or maybe spend more time with God to make it so that you can actually be in your proper work environment or your proper school or whatever it is.
Yes. And you're always living with God today forward in his grace.
Yeah.
Always today forward. So again, so many people, we've learned this from the whole counseling culture we built, although we're shifting a little bit from it, but we've learned that we're a product of our environment, we're a product of our past, both things that are true. Those aren't the things that are most important of us. What's important of us is today forward. So we're choosing today to submit to God today and to follow his will today forward. So if you are end up, let's say you're on a, let's go worst case scenario. You're traveling because you want drugs and you go to some country that has free drugs and you end up there and in your drug stupor, you find Christ. To question why you got there is good. To confess that is good. But the question is, what does God want for you today?
Yeah.
It's not to stand in your condemnation. It's to experience his grace and choose forward the best pathway from that point forward.
Yeah.
There's no despair. Mm-hmm. There's only delight in following God.
Yeah.
And sometimes you take Joseph's brothers. Sometimes they regretted their decisions rightly.
Yeah.
But when Joseph reveals to him, hey, this was God's will. God intended for good. You intended for harm.
Mm-hmm.
You're responsible for your decisions. God intended for good. Now they have to rejoice in God's grace and do their very best to honor God moving forward.
Yeah.
So it doesn't excuse the past. God's grace cleanses the past, but it gives us an opportunity always. God's will should always be thought of today forward. Repentance yesterday, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So confession, repentance yesterday, mm-hmm. God's will today forward.
For figuring out the will of God, sometimes people talk about, oh, we need to fast and pray about that. Where does where does fasting and praying actually like come from? Or is that something that we should be doing in that? When we do that, does God maybe give us wisdom more when we do that? How does fasting work into this?
I think that's a great question. And I think it's important to see what the Bible teaches about it. So let me say that fasting is an Old Testament principle and a New Testament principle. And the early church fasted 2 days a week. So did the Pharisees, and they adjusted the days. But it was a pattern in the life of the early church. Fasting, though, ultimately is not about knowing God's will. It's about knowing God better. Mm. John Piper's book, Hunger for God, one of the best books I've ever read on fasting. It's just, oh, God, I want to know you more. That's the hunger. I have a hunger for you. Now, it does align us with God better, and it allows us to pursue him more effectively, and so then to experience a reality where we will know his will better. So I do think fasting removes distractions. Fasting shows our hunger for God. Fasting opens up who we are, makes us more pliable in God's hands. Fasting is not a way to manipulate God. So I've heard some people, oh, I got to fast and pray because then God will answer. That God wants to show us his will. Fasting should be to display our hunger for God, our hunger for knowing God's will. We should fast and pray. I do think God uses fasting and prayer to direct us in his will, but not because he's manipulated, but because it is changing us to shape us to more hunger for who he is. So you look at Acts 13 as an example, the New Testament. They're fasting and praying. They're longing to know his will. They send out Paul and Barnabas. They weren't trying to conjure up a manipulate, okay, God, we're going to manipulate you by, that's pagan.
Yeah.
But they were hungering for God. They were submitting to God completely. They longed for God's direction. They're showing it with prayer and fasting, and God uses their prayer and fasting to direct them.
Right. It fixes your eyes on God, who he is, what he's done. And helps us think about him in a correct way if we're saying, I'm going to remove the distractions from life and I'm going to focus on him and I'm going to think about what he's done. I know before when there has been a decision where, okay, I've decided I'm going to fast for this, it's not, oh, now God showed me exactly what he wanted to do. But in the daily meditation on who God was, it allowed me to think of how God had worked in a new way where it was, oh, this, I see how God has been working and I see how going forward in this is going to be obedience because I've spent so much time. I'm actually just going to think about this and not about the distractions or what's actually making me anxious or all the pros and cons, but of just saying, hey, God, who are you and what have you done?
Brad, I think that's a great way to say it. Lori and I have fasted and prayed every time we've had any major decision in our lives, not because we're trying to manipulate God, but because we want to be so fully devoted to him. We want to be so in his word that we hear from him. Mm-hmm. And the Bible explains good fasts and bad fasts, right?
Yeah.
They're fasting to manipulate God is actually demonic.
Right.
Fasting to submit to God and to hear from him clearly, as you described, mm-hmm. is a beautiful pattern that should be in our lives.
Mm-hmm. So just to close off, I want to, you touched on this, but how can we just walk confidently in the decisions that we make today? How can we go forward to say, I'm making this decision in faith, even if the Bible isn't very clear on this, how can I do that today?
So I would say there are two steps you need to take. And we've already covered this a little bit because we want to walk in faith, but the two steps you need to take, one, trust in God's providence. Two, choose to obey him in everything. Trust in God's providence, let's start with. God's providence, this is my favorite sovereignty of God guy, is sovereign, purposeful, and wise rule over all things for his glory and our good. Now, let me just do a full stop. This is like Ephesians 1:11 or Romans 8:28-29. When you're looking backwards and you see sin, you see the people who crucified Jesus, Acts 2, Acts 4, you see all sorts of things going on in the world around us, maybe that you caused, the brothers of Joseph. Yes, you need to confess those, but you also need to see that God is sovereign and you trust him. It's walking in faith. So when you look at your past and decisions, you should evaluate. And if decisions were poor, that's right to evaluate and confess those, but it has nothing to do in terms of the right decision forward. So you trust in God's sovereignty. You choose obedience to him. Trust in God's sovereignty. Okay, God, I am where I am right now. I trust that you have sovereignly brought me here, even if it's in my sin.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to choose to obey you regardless of the cost moving forward.
Yeah.
I think that's the freedom of knowing the God of the Bible. It's not a freedom, an excuse to sin. Sin is horrific. Sin is the worst thing you can do. But when you surrender fully to God and you trust him completely, there's always a path today forward. So that's why, to me, I think we should evaluate our past to learn how not to sin in the future, but not to feel despair of where we are. There is always a plan forward for the people of God that honors and glorifies his name, always, regardless of how we got there, regardless of. So we need to think in terms of those two things. I trust God completely. I choose to obey him today. Mm-hmm. Today forward.
Yeah.
So in that trust, it doesn't make what you did okay.
Yeah.
So let's say you made a bad decision. Let's say you married the wrong person. You married a non-believer. You married a whatever. You fill in the blank. Yeah. Somebody who's in a cult. Okay. So you need to understand in that that was sin.
Yeah.
But then as you look forward, you need to say, okay, God, what's the plan you have for me now to choose to obey you now? You can't go back and fix the sins you've made. You trust God's providence. You can move forward and choose to obey, learning from those mistakes in the past. So those two things, I think very simple. A freedom from condemnation and a focus on obeying God and his word moving forward.
Yeah, I've heard it said, obey God and do what you want. As in, that's the order of the priorities.
Yeah.
And make sure my love in life is to live for God and then do what you enjoy doing in life, but make sure that's in full alignment with who God is, what he has done, and be aware of where he is sovereignly leading you in your life.
Yeah, I like that too. If you truly are obeying God, then what you want will align with what he wants. Yeah.
Yeah. And we need God's word. We need to spend time in God's word so that we get to love what
Absolutely.
God
God's
loves.
Word and God's spirit in that direction. Yeah,
yeah.
Love it.
Well, thank you again for listening to this podcast today. I hope it was encouraging for you to learn, okay, how can I make decisions? How can I not be as crippled with the fear of, is what I'm doing right? Is what I'm doing wrong? Know what God has said in his word. Follow the will for your life in honoring him with every single thing that you do. And then in every situation that you're in your life, know, how do I live in accordance with God's word? And then pursue him passionately with where he has placed you. We will see you guys next time.